but the armor of God. We're going to talk about the armor of God today. And this has been a something I've been studying for quite a while, something the Lord's been revealing to me and about my own personal life. Even this week, I had a pastor's meeting in Oklahoma City with our TFAC pastors, and that stands for Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches. It's not AFLAC, it's TFAC, okay? And we had a group of about of us. There's several pastors here in Oklahoma that we meet in Oklahoma City and at a hotel there in their meeting rooms, and we have a great meeting where we just pray for one another. We always have a teaching piece that we go through, and everybody's real open and honest in our group, so it's very nice to have that kind of vulnerability and to be open. And some weeks I go there and I get encouraged by somebody else's discouragement. I go there and I'm like, I don't have it that bad. You know, I thought I was discouraged, but I'm encouraged now. That's kind of how our group goes. But one of the things that we studied about this week was the 3 D's. And hey, Mark, can you do me a favor? Can you go back there on my desk and get my little clicker thing? Yeah, go back there. It's on my desk in the back, and I'm going to keep talking until you get back, or I'm going to try. Pastor Mark forgot something. I forgot one of my pieces of armor this morning that I have to have up here in the pulpit. Had too much on my mind this morning. But anyway, there was 3 things that we talked about. Was they all start with D, and you might write these down. That's perfect, Mark. You're awesome. Is there are distractions, you might want to write these down if you're taking notes, is, thank you, sir. Yep. There are distractions, discouragement, and divided heart. Distractions, discouragement, and a divided heart. And I have been battling all three. I'll just be honest with you. How many of you have been battling discouragement, distractions, divided heart? Seems like it's even increased here lately. And we see it in our nation. We see the division that's going on in our nation, all the things, you know, do we stand, do we kneel for our flag, you know, all that kind of jazz, all the racial things that are being stirred up right now, all the disunity that's being stirred up right now. There's a lot of hate being stirred up right now. And guys, this is what I feel like is going on, personally and corporately as a church. This is time for the church to stand up and shine. And I believe the enemy knows that these are the last days. His days are being numbered, and he's doing his best to stir up junk like never before. But it's also during that time that us as a church, we need to rise up and be the church and be the voice and speak truth and do it all in love and grace, but speak truth and stand firm in what we believe in. And we're going to learn how with the armor of God is what helps us to stand. The armor of God, and a lot of people think that it's just a defensive weapon. Yes, it is. But when you put on the armor of God, it helps you to advance the kingdom of God into whatever territory he has you in. So it's also offense. It's not just defense, it's offense as well. So look at somebody and say, it's time to get on offense. It's time for Christians to come out of the closet. Amen? And it really is. It's really time for us to have a voice in the land, and the church has been way too silent for way too long, and it's time for the church to wake up and be the church. And so I've been battling that distractions, discouragement, and a divided heart, and the Lord has revealed all three of those things in me. And you know, and this last week we went on a retreat, and I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes a retreat is what you need to do to advance. Sometimes we get so busy in whatever our personal battles are or whatever we're going through that we need to take a step back and get a bigger picture. Need to take a step back and rest and worship God and get refueled and revived and all that. And that's what happened with me at men's retreat. And I'm going to tell you, all hell was attacking me to go. And there was a part of me, I was so distracted, so discouraged, so divided heart that I was about to say, I'm not going. You guys are going to have to figure out a way to get there, you guys that signed up. And God said, no. And it wasn't just because I was the pastor. God told me, I need you to get there. I need you to be there. And I need you to worship me in spirit and truth. I need you to get away from all this stuff that's got you distracted and discouraged and divided heart and get alone with me for a little while. And how many of you guys, I know Dusty was the same way. Dusty, did it help? Pops, did it help? It helped. And it helps, and I'm telling you guys this, All hell fights people to come to church on Sunday morning. I was thinking that this morning. It is so easy for us to get up on Monday to go to work at 8. You know, for those that go to work at 8, for some of us. You know, and it does, where there's no battles, and, you know, and there's no, but all hell breaks loose on Sunday morning. You got kids, you got this, you got that. You know, cattle get out on Dusty this morning, and Betty had to go get cattle in. You know, all it's just to try to keep you from the presence of God. Because the enemy knows when you get in the presence of God, anything is possible. When you get in the presence of God. So he wants to keep you from that. And sometimes you got ladies and men, there's sometimes that you need to get away. If you feel like God's saying you need to get away, you know, for a day or two, work that into your schedule somehow, some way to do it, to get away from it all for just a little bit, to refresh yourself and revive. That may be the very thing that you need to advance whatever you're needing to advance in. So I wanted to throw that in there today. But we're going to look at, there's two passages of Scripture that I want you to turn to that you can write down in your notes. One of them is already in your notes, is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. The other one is 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'm going to start off with 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17, because I feel like this is, when we start this series, and I'm starting it today, and this is kind of an introductory message. And by the way, I know we're in harvest time this week, and I had somebody come up to me a few weeks ago, and they said, "We noticed this year you didn't tell us who was speaking." And I said, "No, I didn't, because I want everybody to show up to church." Amen. Because some people don't show up when it's somebody else or whatever. And you know what, guys? It doesn't matter. Some people don't show up because it's me. You know. But here's the deal. It shouldn't matter who's up here behind the pulpit as long as they're preaching and teaching the Word of God. You know, they may not be your flavor or your whatever, you know, or your style or whatever, but you need to receive the Word of God from anybody that's up here or whoever we have on the video as well, because I'm trying to do some little video teaching in here as well mixed in. And I heard great reports from Mark and several others that were here last Sunday about Pastor Jimmy's message about exposing the devil. And that was a very good message. And I've also downloaded speaking about future, not anytime real soon, but it'll be before long. But Pastor Robert Morris did a message called A Lack of Understanding, and it had to deal with all the racial stuff that's going on. It's one of the best messages that I've ever heard on this subject, and we're gonna look at that here, you know, within the next month or so. But watch that one. But you need to receive from anybody who's up here. Amen. Especially if they're teaching the Word of God, which I guard this pulpit. Whoever's up here is going to be teaching the Word of God. So I'm here today. Next Sunday, I'm going to go ahead and tell you who's going to finish out harvest time. Next Sunday is Mark Schell will be here with us. And I know a lot of you love Mark Schell. He's a great teacher of the Word of God. And here's why I have Mark Schell come in once or twice a year, sometimes three times. But this year, I think it's only been twice. Maybe just once, but the reason why I have Mark come in is because I got to know Mark through my grandmother's church. The reason why I have Mark Schell come in is just to make sure none of us are getting religious, because he'll make sure you're not, and he's just got a way of presenting the gospel to make sure we need some detox from religion. So now you know who's going to be here next Sunday. So everybody's going to be here, right, and bring somebody. Amen. All right, here's 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. Thank you. 15 through 17. It says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And this servant said, 'Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?' The servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered." Look at somebody and say, "Don't be afraid." We learned at men's retreat, and I've learned through studying this, that's the biggest thing that the enemy uses against us is fear, to keep us immobilized and right where we're at. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, and this is my prayer over myself and over all of us as we start this series. "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. Talking about angels all around Elisha. And so, guys, I'm telling you, there are more that are battling for you than there are with the enemy. You've got more on your side. You can't see them. There's angels about every one of us here this morning that are doing battle for us. Amen. And we are in a spiritual war. Amen. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. Hello? You're not fighting against your boss. You're not fighting against your spouse. You're not fighting against your mother-in-law. You're fighting. It's a spiritual battle. And some people, I've even found some Christians, when you start talking about the devil and the battle that we're in, they think it's like a fairy tale. This isn't a fairy tale. When you got saved, you're in battle, and you better know about your armor, and that's what we're going to learn about today. So the first thing that we're going to learn, and this is in Ephesians 6, so I want you to turn there, and I'm going to put them up here on the board as well. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, and we're going to read down through verse 18. And I just want you to take this home and meditate on this passage of Scripture and just start letting the Holy Spirit speak to you, because we're going to be going through this pretty much starting today and then all through the month of November as well, because there's a lot in this passage. It says, the armor of God, and this is the Apostle Paul talking, and some scholars believe this is the, and I also believe it as well, that this was one of the, outside of Romans, they even say, even Romans, this is one of the best letters that he ever wrote. And he wrote this while he was in jail. And so it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, and here it is, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so I want to tell you something right off the bat. This is a revelation that you need to get. This is a revelation that I'm getting as I've been studying this, that who is the enemy? Verse 12 tells us who the enemy is. And I'm gonna stretch you a little bit, because I'm going to tell you, it's not even your old man. It's not even who you used to be. Because if you are saved, and if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a new creation in Christ. Your old man is dead. Your old man passed away. Now, the enemy wants to trick you so that you don't battle against him, but you fight against yourself and say, well, it's how I used to be. It's my old man coming back up. So my, no, your old man died with Christ. Amen. So the enemy wants to trick you into saying, I'm fighting with myself. No, you're not. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. And we always read that and we think, well, it's not my mother-in-law, or it's not my boss, or it's not, you know, it's not even you. You're not battling you. You're battling an enemy. And when you, and that's the revelation he don't want you to get. But when you get that revelation, that's when you start making advancements in the kingdom of God. So it's not the old man. You're not fighting yourself or someone else. So verse 12 again says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What you're battling for is to renew your mind according to the word of God, renewing your mind that you are a new creation in Christ. Amen. That's what you're doing. Verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, I'm going to give you, a lot of scholars, when you study this out, they say that there's six pieces to the armor of God. There's actually seven, and I'm going to give those to you real quick, and we're going to break all these down over the next several Sundays, but the first one he tells you to have on, and we're going to go in order that the Apostle Paul listed them, because I believe that's very important. The belt of truth. You're going to have core strength. How many of you love sit-ups? You know, I'm bringing this in the physical realm, but having the belt of truth, it keeps your core. Everything happens in the core. If you don't have truth, you're going to be in error at all times. So you got to have truth. You got to have the spirit of truth, the belt of truth. We're going to talk about that. Then the breastplate of righteousness, and that's what guards your heart. The breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And a lot of people and a lot of scholars stop there, but all this does not work unless you pray. You got to be a person of prayer, a man or a woman of prayer. Jade and I have started praying even more fervently We've always prayed together, but we've stepped up our game, so to speak, and we pray together about, and we even put this on every day, almost every day when we pray. We actually go through those items and we say we're putting on the belt of truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We put on the shoes of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, and prayer. We're suited up for battle. We're ready to go. And whatever this day brings. And I believe that God, what God is doing right now, he's raising up some Joshuas and some Nehemiahs with that same spirit on them. Joshua was the one that took the promised people, or the children of Israel, into the promised land, if you know your Old Testament. And he was a battle. That God gave him battle strategies and all that to take. You know, he's the one that sounded crazy. I need you to walk around Jericho 7 times, and then on the 7th day, I want you to shout. Okay. Now that sounds crazy. That sounds crazy. But you've got to listen to God, what he wants you to do in your battle, whatever it is, and you got to do it by faith. And there's also God's raising up Nehemiahs. Nehemiahs are the ones that are rebuilding the walls. And they're focused on rebuilding that wall. And it looked like it'd take a lifetime to rebuild this wall, but through Nehemiah and the people that joined around Nehemiah, it took 52 days. So whatever you're facing today, with God's help, you can march right through it, guys. Some of you are looking at things that are going on in your lives and marriage and family, and you're thinking, my gosh, this is gonna take a lifetime. God's never gonna answer these prayers. Guys, I'm sitting here walking in some of my answered prayers. One of them is my dad sitting on the front row. I mean, there was a day, Dad, I love you, but there was a day where I was so discouraged, like, I don't think my dad's ever going to get it. I'm going to serious. The enemy had, I had bought a lie from the enemy. I kept believing, but sometimes I was like, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because I don't, you know, and now here he is. My brother, the same way. I've got family, and I talked to Pops and prayed with him this morning, and he's been believing for his whole family, and he saw the last of his grandchildren get baptized up there on the mountain. It's pretty powerful. We're going to talk about that next week and show the video of that. But, guys, whatever it is that you're fighting for, keep standing, but you're going to have to put on the armor of God, and the battlefield is in your mind. It's casting down those thoughts that the enemy places in there. Because the enemy's going to try to lie to you and say, oh, you're worthless, you're a piece of scum. What do you think you're doing standing up? You know, and God's never going to work in your family. Your family's so messed up. Right. Guys, those are all lies, and you got to cast them down. Right. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are so valuable that he sent his son to die in your place. And that's the revelation that the enemy don't want you to get. Did you know, here's another little thing I want to tell you why the enemy battles you so hard is because when Satan fell, and I encourage you to watch that whole series by Pastor Jimmy Evans. You can see it at gatewaypeople.com because he did a whole series on the enemy, exposing the enemy. But when Lucifer fell, he was the archangel that brought worship from the earth to God's throne. And when he fell, he took the third of the angels with him. You got 2/3 of them on your side, by the way. So we always outnumber, and we also have the playbook right here, and we know right from the word get-go that we win. How many of you ever played a game that you already knew you was going to win? No. I haven't, but this one we have. We're in this all together. We win, so you need to act like a winner. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And where was I going with that? What was I talking about? I'm going on so many rabbit trails this morning, that's why I got to stay with my notes. What was I saying? No, I didn't talk about the helmet of salvation. Yeah, I was thankful my dad came to church. Yeah, thank you, Justin. When the enemy was bringing, he brought worship to God's throne, but when he fell because pride was found in his heart, he was like, nobody's going to ever worship you again. Yeah, your angels will be, because you make them worship you. And, but, you know, I convinced 1/3 of them to come with me. And God said, watch this. And he took some dirt and went, whew, and breathed the breath of life into it and formed man. And said, this is going to worship me. And he's going to take your spot in worshiping me. And he's going to worship me in spirit and in truth. And here's the other thing. He's got a free will, and he's going to choose to worship me just like you choose to fall. He's going to choose me and choose to worship me. And so we take his place in worship. That's why the enemy fights worship so much. That's why the enemy fights you in your worship. And it's not just with praise and worship. We know when we think of worship, we think it's singing songs, and that's part of it. But your whole life is worshiping God. What you do Monday through Saturday is worshiping God. How you act, all the things, everything that you do is worshiping God. And the enemy wants to attack all of that. So I'm going to give you some practical things. And if you're taking notes, guess what? This is 11 points. I promise I'll get you out of here by noon. I promise. Because these are very simple, yet very profound. And there's a scripture going to be with each one. So you're going to need to write down 1 through 11. And we're going to go through these. You know, if I give a couple of minutes to each one, we'll be out of here in 22 minutes. If I give three, we're going to be over. And everybody's saying, shut up and get started. But I promise you we'll be out of here in time. But I want to give you these 11 things because they're very practical. I love the Word of God, but I also love that God is a practical God too. Yes, we're fighting a spiritual battle, but God's also a practical God. He is spirit, but he knows where we live, what we deal with every day. And so here's the first thing, and you're going to see the 1 through 4 up there, and you can write them down, and I'm going to talk just a little bit about each one and the scriptures that go with them. But number one, the very first thing that you need to know about spiritual warfare is evil spirits have no power over you. They have no power over you. You have all the power in Jesus' name over them. They are so scared of you. And you know, that's why God's constantly telling us, don't be afraid. The enemy comes, that's his biggest thing, is a scare tactic to scare you. And God wants you to know that they have no power over you. You have all the power in Jesus' name. And I want to read this to you out of Colossians chapter 2. And I know I wrote down just verse 15, but it's actually verses 13 through 15. It says, when you were dead in sins, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations, and that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Isn't that awesome? And then verse 15, it says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That's the power of the cross. And so if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, evil spirits have no power over you. And I grew up thinking that, really this is what I thought. I thought demons and all that were over in Africa, you know. They weren't here in America. And then when I first got saved, and I've had several things with the enemy that's been exposed, and all I had to do, and I didn't have to scream and yell. I didn't have to get a crucifix out and lay it on their forehead like you see on the Hollywood movies, you know, and their head didn't twist around and spit out green soup either. It was just, and I didn't have to scream and yell. All I had to do was use the authority that Jesus gave me with his name. And I'm telling you guys, that name is powerful. The enemy hates hearing that name. And some of you know this story, but the first time I had an encounter with the enemy, I was at it's happened before in different places. It doesn't have to happen at church, but this particular time happened at church. And I was in a service, and after the service, there was this little boy that was laid out on the floor over here, and all the other little boys that during a children's church deal, and they were over here having fun and doing different things. And I was like, and when I walked in there, I was an usher at this revival that we were having. That was my job description. I'm just the usher. I'm not the preacher. I'm not just the usher. And I walked into the service because we were about to close the adult service, and I walked in there. They were already done, but this little boy was laying over there on the floor, and he was just laying there like stiff as a board. And I thought, this is odd, you know. And so I went over to see if he was okay, and I knelt down there by him, and I didn't know if he was praying or what he was doing, because he was up in the altar area where they had their altar time. And so this is where I also learned you can pray with your eyes open. And so I knelt down by his leg, and I grabbed his leg, and I'm just laying my hands on him praying, and I felt him sit up. like he did a sit-up, you know. And I thought, well, he's wanting to get up now. So I opened my eyes and I looked at him, and he was looking at me. And I know at that particular time, if somebody else had been standing there, they might not have seen what I saw. But God, for just like that prayer opened their eyes, God opened my eyes to see the spiritual realm. And I saw what had a hold of this little boy, and it wasn't Jesus. It was something else. God let me see it. And immediately, and I'm going to be honest with you, immediately fear came over me. And here's another thing. I didn't need to go talk to his mom and find out what opened the door or whatever. All I knew is the enemy was attacking this little boy, and he had no right to do it. And so I just said, in the name of Jesus, you need to leave this little boy. I didn't even know his name at that time. And this thing looked at me. It wasn't the little boy. And it goes like this. It's just looking at me. It has this face of anger, and it's doing this. And immediately the Holy Spirit said, he's trying to tell you that there's more of him in him than in you. And immediately, thank God I had some scripture in me at that time. The scripture came to me that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and it's in this little boy. And I said that, and immediately it went from looking angry at me to scared, like a little puppy scared. That little puppy dog eyes when they're scared, got scared at like, uh-oh, we met somebody that knows who they are in Jesus Christ. I'm getting chicken skin just talking about it. And all of a sudden, I mean, this boldness from God came upon me. This Holy Ghost boldness came upon me. And I didn't scream, I didn't yell, didn't cause a scene. I said, you have no right to be in him, and you've got to come out in the name of Jesus. Immediately, that thing started screaming. And of course, that caused a scene. And of course, everybody else knew that something's going on. And so everybody in this revival, a lot of the spiritual leaders that were there in this revival, come around this little boy, and we started praying. And I can remember them starting to sing that old hymn about there's power in the blood of Jesus. And those demons started coming out of this little boy. And I don't know how many came out, but there were several that came out. And he was set free that night. Just by singing about just the name of Jesus, singing about the power and the blood. He was free in the name of Jesus. And they had balloons that night, and I'll never forget this. And that children's ministry deal had balloons, and he was running around throwing balloons up in the air. And nobody told him to do this. He's running around throwing up balloons in the air saying, thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. God is good, guys. And I'm telling you, amen. God's no respecter of persons. You just got to know who you are in Christ. Was I afraid at first? You bet. I'm gonna be honest. I was like, who's the preacher at this revival? Somebody come take care of this. And God was like, no, you're there, and you're saved. You know me. Take care of this situation. So you can take care of that anywhere. I've heard of different, you know, people that know who they are. Jesse Duplantis is one of them. My dad and I like to watch Jesse Duplantis. He took care of a situation on an airplane one time. Lady was in bondage to the enemy on an airplane. And he just said, I just laid my hands on her, didn't cause a big scene. I said, you got to go come out in Jesus' name. And it left right there on the airplane. So, and I'm not saying that there's a demon around every bush, but here I am saying we are in a spiritual war. And if you come in contact with it, you have authority in the name of Jesus to take care of it. Don't turn tail and run. All right. So here's number two. Battles come in waves. They will not last forever. Everybody say amen to that. All right, because some of you in here are battle weary. You've been in a battle for a long time, and God knows that. And I'm telling you, God's fighting behind the scenes for you and taking care of some things, and you're about to have relief in Jesus' name. And I love this in Matthew chapter 4. When I was studying this, this is the scripture that came to me, Matthew 4, verses 10 through 11. This is when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. And in verse 10, it says, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. Some of us need to learn this vocabulary just like Jesus used. Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended to him. Okay, so battles come in waves. They will not last forever. Here's number three. You did nothing wrong to cause this battle. Some of the times the enemy will get in your mind and start thinking, you know, if you wasn't such a big scum, you wouldn't be in this battle right now. Did anybody ever told you that? If you wasn't such a big, bad sinner, you wouldn't be going through this right now. There are sometimes, and that's a whole nother message, there are sometimes that we through our choices and different things, we've caused things to happen to ourselves. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking when you do something, you're doing things absolutely right, you're following God, and you're still in a battle. And you're like, okay, that happened, but I did not sign up for that. That wasn't supposed to happen in my life. Why did that happen? You did nothing wrong to cause this battle. And Jade and I were talking about this the other day, and I said, honey, this is the only one I couldn't find a scripture about. And I was like, you know, I'm having a hard time finding a scripture about this. You did nothing wrong to cause this battle. And I said, can you think of a scripture? And she immediately told me, she said, yeah, the story in John where Jesus was telling the disciples about this. And so I was like, thank you, babe. So she helped me prepare this message, so give her a big hand clap. But because this is powerful. Because this is some, if the enemy's ever lied to you about this, this is one you can go to. And this is in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. It says, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, here's, you know, always this cause and effect, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says this, neither this man nor his parents sinned. I want you to get that. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus healed him. And so sometimes you do nothing wrong to cause the battle that you're in. It may be because you're doing something right, and the enemy knows it, and he knows it. Here's what I've noticed in my life. When the battle's the strongest, it means there's a blessing coming that's going to be awesome. When the battle's the strongest. All right, here's number 4. Don't be afraid, but instead remember the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Don't be afraid. Look at somebody and say, don't be afraid. All right, don't be afraid. This is Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, and I love this, where he says, Nehemiah says, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. So don't be afraid. All right, here's number 5. We'll turn to number 5 here. Number 5, remember the testimonies in your life. How many of you have a testimony? How many of you have reminded yourself of that here lately? Yes, keep reminding yourself. Keep reminding yourself. Here lately, I've been having to remind myself about how God called me into the ministry, because there's been some lies to me that said, you know, it's probably time to give it up. It's time to go on. It's time to stop. And thank you, Anita. And thank you, Robin. They're saying, no, no, no. And that's what was going on the inside of me. And I've had to realize I'm being distracted, discouraged, and divided heart. And God's saying, remember the testimony. Remember how I brought you into all this. Remember the call. Remember the call. And thank God I have remembered the call. Remember the testimonies in your life. And this is Revelation 12, verse 11. And I'm going to go ahead and read all these scriptures to you, even though you can write them down. And I'm giving them for you as your arsenal, so you can look them up later too. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. That's Revelation 12, 11. So sometimes you got to remind yourself of the testimonies in your life, because your testimonies, they are weapons of warfare, and they help fill yourself with faith. And faith is what pleases God, and faith is what helps you overcome. I had something that happened on a men's retreat that I went up, and I'm just going to be honest, and I'm telling off of myself. I ain't told Dusty or Pops this, some of the few that were with us, but there's a time, and they always do it every year, there's a time where they call the pastors up front to pray for guys. And I'll be honest with you, when I went to men's retreat, I was just like, I'm just glad to be here and worship, and I'm ready to just soak up some Jesus. I need some Jesus time. And when they did that night, I was like, oh, there's plenty of pastors here. I'm not going up there. You know, I just want to sit back here and receive. In fact, I need to go to a pastor and have some prayer. You know, that's where I was, and I did. I ended up doing that when I was there. But I was like, no, they asked for the pastors. I am a pastor. God called me to be a pastor. I'm going to go up there. And because it's not about me. It's about being available and be willing and be obedient. And so I went up there, and as I was standing up there, Dusty was one of them that came for prayer, prayed for him, God gave me a vision as I prayed for Dusty, and it was also for me too, that God was showing me that in both of us, even though I prayed this over him, that we were just down to like a pilot light, you know, in our walk with God, just that little pilot light's on. And all of a sudden, God has ignited it in full heat and full flame, you know. So is that still happening, Dusty? Amen, amen. Still happening with me, too. And then another guy came up to me. I don't know this guy. He goes to another church. I don't even know who he was. I don't even know his name. And he came up to me. And I'm going to say this, but I'm going to do a little teaching through this, too. But he came up to me with a can of Copenhagen. And he said, I want delivered of this. This controls my life. And he said, I need deliverance. And I said, you know what, buddy? 25 years ago, God delivered me of that. And God's no respecter of persons, so I'm going to agree with you. And I'm going to say this. God does the cleaning, okay? Because there was plenty of guys going outside smoking a cigarette after the services were over. Here's what I'm going to tell you. All that stuff is habits of the flesh. That's not a heaven or hell issue. That's not going to keep you out of heaven. But God, when you start walking with him, he's going to convict you of different things. And he does the cleaning. None of your nagging is going to get the cleaning done. The Holy Spirit does the cleaning. And so this guy, and he didn't tell me, but maybe his wife had been nagging him too, but who knows, but he knew at that men's retreat that God was saying, I want to deliver you of this. And this is what he did. He laid it up on the altar, that can of Copenhagen up there, and we prayed. And I believe he's delivered today from that. But whenever God starts doing those things in you, just follow the Holy Spirit's leading, because God delivered me. I had tried to quit on my own a lot. I was even saved and tried to quit. And I was even saved and playing on a church softball team with a big old chew in out there, you know. And then I started feeling convicted about it. I never felt convicted about it before. And I was like, Jada was telling me, you need to stop that. You need to stop that. And it would help us save some money if you'd stop that. And, you know, at that time it was up to $3 a can. And now I think it's up to like $5 or $6 a can is what some guy told me. But thank God I quit when it was at $3. It wasn't me that quit, I can tell you that. I finally, because I'd tried to quit on my own several times, pick it back up. And finally, the Lord was dealing with me about it, and I took it to the Lord. He said, finally, you brought it to me. And I'm telling you guys, overnight, it was like that. Took care of it. So God can do it. Amen. All right, here's number 6. Remember the work you're doing is noble. And that's Galatians 6:9, where it says, do not get weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap a harvest. I'd been getting, you know, I didn't remember what I'm doing in ministry is noble. It's what God wants me to do. And I was getting weary in well-doing. And guys, we're fixing to reap a harvest. Everybody said amen. Okay, number 7 is, remember who you are. And this is Romans 5:17, where that talks about, Romans 5:17 says this. Says you are, basically I'm just going to sum it up. You can go look it up later. But it says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's who you are. And you need to start acting like it and being that and knowing that. That makes you stand tall. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not my righteousness, it's his. But I walk in that. All right, here's number 8. Trust Jesus to keep you. And this is in Jude chapter, there's only one chapter in Jude, it's right before Revelation, it's verse 24, and it talks about how Jesus will keep you. A lot of you are trying to keep yourself. You're trying to do it yourself. You're trying to do it all on your own. And I've been that way. And you've got to trust Jesus that he's going to keep me. He's going to keep it. He's going to do it, not me. You're not smart enough. You're not wise enough to keep yourself. Because we all are like sheep and have gone astray. Okay, here's number 9. Here's where I wanted to get to, and these last 3, of course. But I wanted to read the scripture that goes with this one. Number 9 is release the peace within you through praise and worship. And this is Acts 16, verse 25. I'm going to read this real quick because some of you in here know this story, some of you don't, and that's okay. But it's Acts 16, verse 25. And it's talking about the Apostle Paul and Silas when they were in jail. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praising and worshiping. and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken at once. All the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." And basically I read more than just verse 25. But when you release the peace within you through praise and worship, this is what happens. The freedom, you might want to write this down, the freedom within you will become the freedom around you. If you're not experiencing freedom around yourself, maybe you need to open your mouth and start praising and worshiping God. A lot of us are too silent, and also mixing some prayer with that as well. And it'll start, that peace within you will start making freedom and peace come around you as well. All right, here's number 10. No matter what, nothing can separate you from God's love. And everybody said, amen. And I'm going to read, this one is Romans 8, and you might want to write this down. It's not just 38 and 39, it's 37 through 39. It says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And everybody said, amen. No matter what, nothing can separate you from God's love. No matter what anything the devil throws at you, whatever you go through, nothing's going to separate you from God's love. And then number 11, remember that God will never leave you. And in Psalms 23, verse 4, he says that he's going to be with you through the valley of death, and his rod and his staff will comfort you. He's going to be with you through anything and everything. He never leaves you. Did anybody get something out of that?
Amen.
Shaden, are you awake? You're not supposed to go to sleep when Uncle Mark's preaching. Okay, you're awake. All right, he's over laid over on Jennifer, on Aunt Jennifer. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And we do this every Sunday. And I never want it to become like a little ritual how we close service, but I always want to give an opportunity for those that are here or those that are watching by Church's Aid and online or on the radio to make sure, or listening on the radio to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's a very simple process. All you have to do, the Bible says, is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So I want the honor and the privilege to lead you in a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen." Amen. Give yourself a hand clap. And if that's your first time to pray that prayer, your next step of obedience, or maybe you've never done this and you've been a believer for a while, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that next Sunday if you want to. Just get with me after service and we can get that taken care of. Now, I want to pray. Mark's going to come up here, Mark Ward, and close here in just a second. But I want to pray. This is my second closing. Is I want to pray over all of us before we leave today, okay? And I'm going to pray something specifically here over us, and it's like a word to all of us. This is a word to all of us, okay? All right, let's get in that spirit of prayer again, and I'm going to just release this word over all of us. The battle and the struggle that you're going through today, this is what I believe the Lord is saying over all of us. This too shall pass. Even though you may feel crazy in the valley, you have been given a sound mind. Here again, we have to remind ourselves that how we feel isn't always how we are. And I want to encourage you with this verse. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hold on to this as you walk through the valley, and remember the goal is to keep walking with your armor on. Don't set up camp and don't give up. Lord, I am praying today that you would have peace in this season. I'm praying for everyone here today that they're going to have peace in this season that they're in, that God would protect you at night and that his voice would be the loudest one over you. And I pray that your irrational thoughts would be dissolved in Jesus' name and that the Holy Spirit would make clear the illusion and lie of the enemy. I pray that you would be like Elisha's servant, that your eyes would be open to see that there are more for you than that are against you. His angels are about you. And I pray that the angels would surround you and that the right people would come around you in this season. And God, I pray this over all of us here today, those that are watching by Church's Aid, those that are listening by radio. God, I seal this word over all of us today in the name of Jesus. And I pray that everyone would get into this word and put their armor on every day. God, that they'd wear these seven pieces and that we'd begin to advance the kingdom of God in all of our respective areas, whether it's at home, family, school, college, God, on our jobs, our careers, God, on the farm, the ranch, wherever we're at, God, that we're going to have the armor of God on and we're going to be advancing. And God, we're going to take our promised land in Jesus' name. And God, we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up, and Mark's going to come up here and close this, and Jade and I are going to go back here to the back.
Amen. Give Pastor Mark a hand clap. Well, that was great. I love, Pastor Mark, I love when you leave. Amen. You went on that retreat, meaning that I knew, guys, that he's going to come back on fire. Amen. And with a great, it's going to be a great message series. And who feels a stirring in a new thing? Amen. That's what I sat there and I go, I feel the stirring of a new thing and I need one. But I sat there when we doubt God. The only thing that you really can't say anything about what Pastor, you can't add to anything Pastor said except I give a testimony. There's a little bit of doubt there with our worship. Not, you know, Taya leaving and my son Luke that's been around going to college and we do that. And, you know, just a little bit of me going, okay, God, you know. And I sat there and God just told me this morning, he goes, Mark, I can double and triple down because I'm in control and you're not. Amen. And I watch our worship team. I'm going, thank you, Lord. I'm just sitting there going, send us some people, and I know you'll show up. And I love that about a surrendering, not to speak pride over our team, but that what we concentrate on is loving God. And he just tripled down with shit. Mark, I started this, and I'm going to finish it. It's about, I can do it. Surrender to me. Love on me. So I think that really went with Pastor Mark's word today, that he's got you. Amen. He's got a great plan, and we need to trust him. And that's all I took from that today was he blows my mind, and I hear Grace sing. I'm like, amen. Maybe she can sing that, you know, and all of us can if we step out and trust God. Anyway, great word, and I'm excited for next week and continuing with Pastor Mark what's doing this series. I want to speak this blessing over us, and let's all believe during this time too for a new thing. Because I know it's coming, and it's awesome. I'm excited for it. Okay, I'm going to read from Numbers chapter 6. We read it over you. It's verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. A great day. Give the Lord a hand clap.